power packed morning zoo. Are you kidding me?
It's hot. Fire.
It's the greatest radio show ever.
Fire. Good morning and welcome.
Dan Mickley.
Oh my God, he's from Chicago. That's amazing.
Vince Marotta.
Oh, why? Who's better than Vince?
Sarah Cazell. And Jerry Carlin.
Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.
Mickley and Marotta mornings.
Shout out to Dan Mickley, my boy. Him and Vince. Okay.
Good morning. Happy Monday, Valley sports fans. Welcome in to the aftermath of a very, very enjoyable sports weekend. The Suns do not have to play a basketball game Tuesday night. They do not have to play one Friday night. A live golfer did not win the Masters, and the Diamondbacks won a series against the Cardinals. Did I miss anything?
We're losing a franchise.
Whoops. Well, yeah. By the way, if you haven't seen the ticket prices for the last game.
Saw that.
The ticket prices for the last game at Mullet Arena are insane.
Yeah.
Good seats are over $900.
I didn't see one on the resale sites for less than four digits.
Mm-hmm.
My son wants to go hang out in the parking lot for the game. Apparently, there's going to be a big party going on, so.
Slash riot.
No. I think it would be very, very much like this fan base to kind of show up. I mean, if they've stuck with this team through all this nonsense for 20 years, they're going to show up and make this a party. I'm fully, fully expecting that.
Yeah. And they've put up with a lot of crap for 20 years.
Oh, let's be honest. Can say that again.
And we'll have a lot of talk on that today.
Yeah.
How was the weekend, Beck?
Oh, it was okay. Wasn't bad. Yeah. Wasn't bad. Yeah. How about you?
It was pretty non-eventful. It was a little longer than your weekend. I took Friday off.
Yes, we noticed.
Yeah.
It's all good.
But look at me. I'm all recharged.
Yeah, fantastic.
Don't I look rested?
Yeah, you do.
Relaxed.
Yes.
Stress-free.
Mm-hmm. That's very good.
You can just tell in my gait.
Yeah, yeah.
In my demeanor.
That's good.
Yeah.
You're glowing.
Glowing.
I would not say that.
All right. Well, yeah, I think we're in a lot better mood than we might have anticipated before Friday night's game against the Kings.
I honestly don't even know how to be, because it felt like an entire season waiting for the inevitable worst to happen.
There,
and then like almost one of the best possible case scenarios wound up happening with the Suns.
Yeah. Yeah. Listen,
so it's like,
I understand. I talked to people. Even after yesterday's game, I heard from people who are still mad at this basketball team. They're having a hard time enjoying this.
Yeah. But kind of clean slate.
You hope.
Starting next
you hope. You hope.
You hope. You hope.
Yeah. There we go.
Yeah.
All right. Ferret, start the show.
The Splash.
Splash.
The stories making waves in the sports world.
The Splash.
Cannonball. Cannonball coming. Cannonball coming.
The Splash. Brought to you by Presidential Pools, Arizona's number one pool builder. See why at presidentialpools.com.
Is it possible that the Phoenix Suns played their best, most complete game of the season in the final game of the regular season? You can make a strong argument for that in a 125-106 gem of a win over the Minnesota Timberwolves Sunday afternoon at Target Center. The Suns exploded for 44 points in the first quarter. They built a 22-point lead after the first 12 minutes. The T-Wolves never cut the lead to single digits in the last 41 minutes and 41 seconds of the contest. Bradley Beal was spectacular. He scored 36 points. Went a perfect 6 of 6 from 3-point range. Devin Booker added 23. Grayson Allen had 20. The Suns forced Minnesota into 24 turnovers, leading to 35 points, including tying an NBA record 19 turnovers in the first half. The Suns sweep the season series, and that's good news. With their win and the Lakers' win over the Pelicans, Suns are the 6th seed in the Western Conference. They avoid the play-in tournament and will face that same Timberwolves team in a first-round series starting next weekend.
Yeah, all the boxes are checked. Could not have asked for a better ending to a very, very, very erratic regular season.
Yeah. Elsewhere in the West, we know the 4-seed Clippers will face the 5th-seeded Mavericks. Oklahoma City clinches the 1-seed.
That's a shocker.
And they will face either Sacramento or Golden State, who will meet in the 9-10 play-in game. The defending champion, Nuggets, Nuggets are the 2 seed. They'll face either the New Orleans Pelicans or the Lakers in the first round. Those two teams will meet tomorrow night in the 7-8 play-in. In the East, it's Philadelphia hosting Miami in the 7-8 play-in game on Wednesday. The winner will meet the 2 seed, the New York Knicks, in the first round of the playoffs. The loser will face the winner of the 9-10 play-in game between Chicago and Atlanta. Loser is out of that game. Of that game will hit the offseason. Reports on Friday night indicated that the members of the Arizona Coyotes roster were informed that the team will be relocated to Salt Lake City, Utah for the 2024-2025 season. Those same players then went out and beat Edmonton 3-2 in overtime. Last night was the last road game of the season. Yotes are in Calgary. They dropped a 6-5 decision to the Flames. Coyotes led 5-3 late in the second on Josh Doan's 5th career goal. But the Flames answered. They tied it, and then Nazem Kadri scored twice in the first 6 minutes of the third to provide the winning margin. Dylan Gunther had 2 goals in the loss for Arizona. The season, and it looks like the Coyotes' stay in Arizona comes to an end Wednesday night in Tempe at Mullet Arena against the Oilers. Yeah, there's a lot to get into there.
With
what was said and what wasn't said.
Oh, right. And the idea that, don't worry, we're going to get you your forever home. It's pretty laughable to me, especially if you've read the stories over the weekend that the Coyotes weren't even paying their hotel bills this season.
Mm-hmm. D-backs ended their series with the Cardinals by scoring a 5-0 win at Chase Field. Zach Gallen pitched 6 innings of 4-hit shutout baseball while striking out 7. All the offense they would need would come in the 5th inning. Corbin Carroll's 2-run single highlighted that inning. Joe Mantiply, Bryce Jarvis combined on 3 innings of nearly spotless relief to preserve the D-backs' 2nd shutout of the season. They take 2 of 3 from the Redbirds, even their season record at 8-8. Cubs are in town for a 3-game series starting tonight at Chase Field. It'll be Merrill Kelly on the hill for Arizona against Ben Brown of the Cub. 6:40 first pitch. Pregame gets rolling at 6 on Arizona Sports on 98.7 and the Arizona Sports app. Pitcher Corbin Martin, whom the D-backs designated for assignment a little over a week ago, was claimed on waivers by the Brewers. Martin pitched in only 12 big league games for the D-backs since the 2019 trade that brought him, along with Josh Rojas, Seth Beer, and J.B. Bukauskas to Arizona from the Astros in the Zach Greinke trade. Everybody's now gone from that trade.
Wow. I dropped the beer on my Bukauskas.
Veteran outfielder Tommy Pham, who helped the Diamondbacks to the National League Championship last season, reportedly close to signing a minor league deal with the Chicago White Sox. Read into that what you will. It's a minor league deal, but even if you play for the big league team, you're playing minor league baseball. The White Sox stink.
Yeah, they do.
Whew, they are terrible. Scottie Scheffler fired a final round 68 cruise to a 4-stroke win at the Masters at Augusta National on Sunday. Ludwig Ober finished 2nd. I finally got to use that character when I was typing it out, the A with the dot over it. That's cool.
Yeah, it's kind of cool, isn't it?
He finished 2nd, 7-under for the weekend. Tommy Fleetwood, Max Homa, Colin Morikawa. We're in a group at 4-under, 7 strokes back. It is Scheffler's 2nd Masters win, $3.6 million in winnings. Tiger Woods, who made his 24th consecutive cut to set a new Masters record, finished at 16-over for the weekend. Dead last of the 60 players who made the cut, and the worst showing he's ever had in a 72-hole tournament.
Yeah, and most of the LIV guys flamed out, which made me very happy.
Yes, they did. And the 2024 WNBA draft tonight, the worst kept secret in sports, can finally end. The Indiana Fever, with the first overall pick, will select Iowa star Caitlin Clark. Other big names to be drafted tonight, LSU's Angel Reese, Stanford's Cameron Brink, and center Camila Cardoso from the national champion South Carolina team. Phoenix Mercury do not have a first-round pick. They traded it to Chicago in the Kalia Copper trade, but the Merc currently have 2 picks in the 3rd round, 25th and 29th overall.
Yeah, and then the fun begins. Had a lot of conversations with people over the weekend regarding Caitlin Clark and this whole idea that the WNBA has it out for her to show her what reality is. It's like, why are they hating on her? It's not her fault that television cameras follow her and her team everywhere they go.
That, I mean,
it's unbelievable to me.
It is very curious.
It's unbelievable.
For 27 years, that league has fought for eyeballs, has fought for attention.
Yeah. And now now some people are resentful of it. It's ridiculous.
Guess who showed up on Saturday Night Live on Saturday? Caitlin Clark. There you go. There's your splash. For Monday, April 15th. Oh, no! Did you get your taxes done?
Yeah, I did.
Coming barely. Up next, the Suns end the regular season with maybe their best game of the year. That's so Suns. We'll get into it next. It's Bickley and Marotta Mornings here on Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.
Hey, it's Wolf. The regular season is over, and we know the Phoenix Suns' fate. So how do we feel about the Suns' chances for a deep playoff run? We'll tell you at 10 a.m. It's Wolf and Luke on Arizona Sports.
5 seconds left to go. He will dribble out the remainder of the clock, and the Suns win. 125-106, the final score in Minneapolis, where they will start the playoffs as the sixth seed in the Western Conference, improving to 49-33 to finish off the season.
That was the final call yesterday in Minneapolis from John Bloom on the Suns Radio Network. 49-33. It's all over. The 82 games. The 10-game gauntlet is over. The Suns went 7-3 in their final 10 games, even though that was uneven at times. But when we focus on what the Phoenix Suns did Friday night in Sacramento and yesterday in Minnesota, two very different ball games. Sacramento was a stressful game that came down to the last seconds. Yesterday was just a good old-fashioned butt-whooping.
Oh, yeah.
And the Suns did what they set out to do, what they had talked about, even throughout the struggles, avoiding the play-in game. If you would have told me back in October, Bick, that this team was going to finish sixth, I would have told you, wow, that's highly disappointing.
Yes.
So there is certainly a degree of that, but when you look at it in the current, it could have been a lot worse for this team.
Well, listen, yes. And I think the big revelation over the weekend, clearly, as we've talked about already, was Bradley Beal.
Good Lord, is he playing basketball?
Oh, yes. And not only that, it's the fact that he looks like he cares. Friday night going into that game, and we talked about this all last week. To me, we were going to find out a lot about the Suns and just how disengaged they happened to be, how broken they happened to be, and they didn't look that way this weekend. And for Bradley Beal's punching the air at the end of that game against the Kings, in which he was absolutely tremendous at the end, right? Mm-hmm. Huge steal, huge defensive stop, huge bucket, and then he follows it up just demolishing the Timberwolves. He sort of got the fans to at least, yes, somebody cares. And for that fist pump to be so impactful on a fan base, just it tells you how bad this team didn't connect with the fan base up until that moment.
I totally agree. I had this, watching it in real time on Friday, this reaction. It was all over social media. I was texting people who were texting me. When Bradley Beal, he made that steal with a minute to go. Huge play. Mm-hmm. There was the outward show of emotion where he was just yelling and screaming. Everybody got into it.
Yep.
The reason why that stood out so much is because it's been absent the entire season.
Exactly. And for fans to finally get that in game 81 of the season and then to watch it continue on Sunday, it makes me really happy for Bradley Beal. I'm not going to lie. It makes me mad at Devin Booker and Kevin Durant. But here's the thing. There are people in this market, even media people, who think this team is beyond redemption. I don't believe that. I don't believe that at all. This thing is set up really, really good for this basketball team. They got a very desirable opponent. In fact, do you think anybody in the Timberwolves really thinks they can beat the Suns in a series? The Suns work them.
You have to take it with a grain of salt. Mm-hmm. It's the regular season. It was three games. Two of those games happened in the last week and a half. So these are very fresh questions. Mm-hmm. Everybody on the Minnesota side, you can go to any website, you know, The Athletic, The Star Tribune, they're calling this a nightmare scenario.
Yes.
For a team that had a magical season.
Yes.
And look at the juxtaposition between these two opponents. Right. We'll have a lot on this series as the week goes on.
Oh, yeah.
But the Suns underachieved all year long, and they're, in most people's eyes, sitting pretty going into this matchup. The Timberwolves were at the top of the Western Conference. This is one of the best teams they've ever had, and they have severe doubt about themselves and their team going into this.
Absolutely.
It's crazy.
Absolutely. And it's like Anthony Edwards, for as much as he has blown up the NBA, he is not much against the Suns.
He's an excellent player.
Mm-hmm.
But the three games against the Suns this year, to me, show that the ascension of Anthony Edwards as him is way premature.
Way premature. Even when the T-Wolves were trying to get back in that game in the third quarter, he shot him right out of it with those hero ball threes he was trying. I'm just going to say this is quite something. I really, really honestly was dreading a couple of a potential two games at Footprint Center, and you lose both, and now you've piled on to that elimination game narrative that's plaguing this basketball team. This is so much better. So much better that they can practice, rest, reset, get on the road, get into a series.
Yes. I want to go back to Friday night. Bradley Beal, the outward show of emotion, continued on the court after the game when he was doing his interview with Amanda Flugrad, who asked him, hey, what kind of zone are you in right now?
Playoff zone, man. It's time to stop playing defense. It's time to execute and take care of the ball offense. It's time, man. We want to win the ring. It's time, Amanda. It's time. I'm hype as hell. I'm ready to go.
That carried over to Sunday. Bradley Beal was by far the best player on the court.
It wasn't even close.
And it was for the full game. There was no lull.
No.
On both sides of the floor.
And he got into Ant's face. I mean, it was just remarkable watching what that guy did to this basketball team. This is the third wheel, or has been all year long. And he comes out as the guy, the leader in game 81. It's unbelievable. It really, really is. But I'm here for it. This is, you know, it's a lot better than the alternative, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, it certainly is. And Bradley Beal was outstanding. Frank Vogel recognized Beal's performance on Sunday.
He just went bananas tonight. He went bananas. I mean, look, this guy's one of the best players in the world. Okay, and people see him as a good player. When he plays like this, I mean, he's one of the best players in the world. Because he's doing it on both ends. He's guarding Ant on the other end. You know, and he's locking down and doing a great job, competing, doing the best he can. But see him go 14 for 21, 6 or 6 from 3, 36 points, 5 assists, right? 5 assists. And he's guarding the other team's best player, most dynamic perimeter player. I mean, can't speak highly enough about the performance he put on today. That was something else.
He was fantastic, but what else stood out from a team standpoint was the effort defensively from the jump. The Minnesota Timberwolves hang their hat on being, quote-unquote, the best team. And everybody's been talking about it. Mm-hmm. And if you've only watched the Timberwolves play against the Suns this year, you're like, wait, what are they talking about?
That's right.
They are by far, statistically, by every metric, the best defensive team in basketball. And they looked, the Suns looked like that yesterday.
I haven't seen a lot of this, but the communication on the court between these players, it was obvious yesterday. Obvious. Dead balls on free throw lines. Guys talking to each other. It's like, where has that been?
I mean, in a way, it's disappointing. But if there's a deep playoff run coming, and this was part of the plan or part of the whole mindset, can you burn hot for 82 games? I saw it 2 years ago. The Suns burned hot for 82 games and then stopped
and
burning hot.
Yeah.
So I mean,
listen, I'm there. I mean, if really that's what we've been watching.
Trolling the whole league.
Wow, trolling the whole league all year long.
Yesterday was a lot of fun.
I agree.
And so was Friday night. I want to remind you the FanDuel text line is open. You can text your thoughts to the FanDuel text line at any time at 620-620. Good weekend for the D-backs as well. At least it ended well with a 5-0 win over the Cardinals and a series win. We'll relive it through D-backs Daily next. Pickley and Murata Mornings here on Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.
Arizona Sports, the home of Arizona Diamondbacks baseball.
D-backs Daily.
Rubber game of a 3-game series at Chase Field. D-backs looking for the series win over the Cardinals. Zach Gallen on the mound for the Diamondbacks against St. Louis right-hander Miles Michaelis. Gallen would get into a bit of hot water in the top of the second. Nolan Arenado led off with a double, and after Wilson Contreras struck out, Gallen walked Lars Nootbaar. Then rookie Ivan Herrera singled to load the bases, but Gallen buckled down. He struck out Brandon Crawford looking and induced a harmless grounder to first from Michael Ciani that Christian Walker would take to the bag himself to end the inning and the Cardinals' first threat of the day. D-backs offense couldn't get anything going against Michaelis through four innings. That would change in the fifth. Christian Walker led things off with a single. Jock Peterson followed with a double to right, sending Walker to third. With nobody out, it was Jace Peterson's turn to open the scoring.
1-1 is swung on. That's hit into shallow left field. Making the catch is Donovan. Walker going to try and tag. Here comes the throw, and it is not in time. Head first dive by Walker. He scores. It's 1-0 Diamondbacks.
Yeah, that ball was not hit deep, and Walker tested the arm and made a tremendous slide. Chris Garagiola on the call, 1-0, as you heard him say. That was the first RBI of the year from Jace Peterson. Jake McCarthy followed and liked what he saw in an 0-1 slider from Michaelis.
0-1, there's a base hit into right field. Jock saw it all the way. He will round third and score. McCarthy with the wheel is going to try and turn it into a double. And the throw not in time from Nootbaar. 2-0 stakes in the bottom of the fifth.
They were not done. Blaze Alexander grounded out to first, sending McCarthy to third. Then Tucker Barnhart worked a walk, as did Ketel Marte. And that would end the day for Michaelis and would load the bases for Corbin Carroll, who is now facing right-hander Andre Pallante.
Pallante ready. First pitch swung on, grounded right side. That is into right field. The base hit. McCarthy scores. Barnhart rounding third. He'll try and score as well as the throw's off the line. Two are in. It's 4-0 Diamondbacks.
Yeah, two runs in off the bat of Corbin Carroll. By the way, Andre Pallante kind of sounds like an opera singer's name.
It does, right? Very much so. good baritone.
La la la. You done, Jared?
He said a good
Right.
With Marte on third, Carroll swiped second base. Pallante then got a little wild while facing Lourdes Gurriel Jr.
Here's a 2-0 pitch. And Gurriel takes in the dirt, skips away from Herrera. Marte scores, and it's now 5-0 as the Cardinals are coming undone in this fifth.
Yeah, Gallen would retire the Cardinals in order in the sixth, ending his day with manager Torey Lovello looking for 9 outs from his bullpen to close things out. A bit of a scary moment in the final out of the sixth, however. Bases empty, 2 outs for Contreras.
Here it is. Contreras swings, lifts it in the air, right center field. Long, long run for Carroll, and oh my gosh, the catch is made, but McCarthy and Carroll nearly collide into one another, and Carroll is down and slowly getting up. He seems to be all right.
Yeah, they got their feet tangled up. Carroll went down a little slow to get up, but McCarthy made the play to preserve the shutout. Joe Mantiply would get the first 4 outs out of the bullpen. Bryce Jarvis took over with 1 out in the eighth, and he would get the job done in a non-save situation.
Here's the wind and the payoff. Swing, ground ball right side. Marte, he's got it on a slide, and to his feet throws out Nootbaar. And on a day where the offense and the starting pitching stood tall, it was Marte with a spectacular defensive play to give the Diamondbacks a 5-0 shutout victory.
And they get the series win. They lose the opener on Friday, but bounce back on Saturday and Sunday. Both games really with what I would call selective offense. It wasn't necessarily a tidal wave of offense,
yeah.
But
no.
An inning here, an inning there, and it was enough to get those wins.
Kind of the whole season's been like that.
And Zach Gallen was just masterful.
Fantastic. That's a great word for it. In fact, if you listen to Tucker Barnhart talk, he was blown away by catching him yesterday and just watching Zach Gallen just carve up hitters. And for all the concern, oh my goodness, how is he going to be like at the start of the season after all the inning accumulation last year and how he was for most of the postseason? He has been tremendous.
And how encouraging in general that Zach Gallen and Merrill Kelly have come right out of the gates
firing,
both being aces.
Yep. And they both need to be, and we'll get to the reason why on that in just a second. But 6 innings, 90 pitches for Gallen. Allen wasn't taxed all that much, but Torey Lovello explained why he took him out at that point of the game.
This day was set up by Zach, so we're talking about a clean game. He went out there and executed a good game plan. I decided to take him out of the game a little early through threw 106, 107 pitches last outing in five innings. Just made a lot of sense to shorten him up there. But he was very effective from inning to inning. He went out, and I think the breaking ball was elite. It was strike the ball, the bottom of the zone. Seemed like he could throw it anywhere he wanted at any time, and that's my opinion. Fastball came out real hot, real aggressive, and he established that, and then went to work with secondary stuff, and just kept making quality adjustments and attacking the zone, and handed over the bullpen. Bullpen was fantastic as well. He said, "Yeah, look, I'm good. You want me to keep going? I'm good. When I can clip his innings early, I'm going to do that." I made that decision. I spoke to him about it in spring training, so he's on board with it. But he's such a competitor. He said, "I'm good," but I said, "We've had enough."
Yeah, Gallen, six innings against four hits, no runs, struck out seven, walked only two. His ERA right now is at 1.64.
Well, and yes, which is fantastic. But to me, the key to this whole series is what Ryan Nelson did on Saturday.
Yes,
I mean, that kid left that game to a standing ovation on Saturday.
Well, you want to talk about extreme home road splits? Mm-hmm. Even last year, so good on the road, so bad at home. So that's going to be just a great feeling for him, and maybe something mentally that gets him clicked in. Jordan Montgomery is going to make his debut on Saturday. The other pitching news over the weekend was not good. Eduardo Rodriguez shut down. He's got some tightness in the shoulder, so it's going to be a bit before the D-backs roll out. And now when you talk about shoulder soreness, that's not great.
On top of the other issues, this is not great.
Tightness is the worst. It's like you'd rather extreme pain. Tightness always seems to be the thing that it's something bigger.
Yeah, right. It's a very foreboding word in baseball. Yes, it is.
Tightness in the elbow, baseball in lexicon, the forearm,
it is.
In the shoulder.
Oh, yeah. No bueno. That's a shame, especially given to the financial investment, and it's just yet another example of just how you got to hope for the best whenever you sign pitchers to big-time deals.
Yeah, but going back to what Nelson did on Saturday, too, mm-hmm. we know one of those rotation spots for Nelson or Henry is going to go away when Montgomery joins the rotation. You like to see those guys at the end of the rotation try to make a pitch. Hey, this is what I'm capable of. Pressure's on. I'm going to come up with a big start. And Ryan Nelson did that.
He did that. And then Zach Gallen followed that up. And now we got the Cub.
The Cub. A lot of people from Chicago in town.
Oh, I hadn't noticed.
Yeah.
Hey, we know there'll be at least five Diamondbacks fans who called in and won tickets last week that'll be there.
We don't know that they're Diamondbacks fans.
I made sure before.
Oh, did you?
I hung
did
up on you? Plenty of... No, I didn't.
Yeah.
I just assumed. I hoped.
Yeah, that series gets underway tonight at Chase Field, 6:40 first pitch. Pregame starts at 6 o'clock. Again, Merrill Kelly on the mound in that series opener against Chicago. Coming up next... A relatively easy win for Inevitable Scheffler. Is that what they're calling him? Inevitable Scotty?
I didn't know that.
I saw that attached to his name. I don't think it's a nickname, but everybody was using that adjective. We'll get into the Masters weekend, both the good and bad, next. It's Bickley and Murata Mornings here on Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.
Scotty Scheffler, putter back and in! Scotty, he's done it again. Scotty Scheffler, for the second time in 3 years, is the Masters champion.
It's hard to put into words how special this is. It's been a long week, a grind of a week. The golf course was so challenging, and to be sitting here wearing this jacket again and getting to take it home is extremely special.
Your Masters champion for 2024, Scotty Scheffler, second time in 3 years, as you heard Mike Tirico describe on SiriusXM Radio. Pretty dominant performance, four-stroke win. Mm. He's the only guy in double digits under par. For the tournament, he's just he is in the zone right now.
Oh yeah, well, he's the best player by a long shot. Yes. He hits the ball straight, he hits it long, and he's clearly impervious to pressure. That's the one thing that the Masters does about as well as any major, and that is the enormous. It's the tournament that golfers most want to win. That is, as with all due respect to the Open Championship. Where they really do believe that they are all that. This is the Super Bowl for golfers, mm-hmm. because of the history, and that place can wind you up, it can unwind you, and as guys started falling apart right around Amen Corner yesterday, Scotty Scheffler just hit the gas pedal. Remarkable player, and exactly what the sport of golf needs right now.
Yeah, a lot of people,
somebody to rally around, greatness.
He is that right now. There's no doubt. And I know your heart was warmed by the fact that the LIV golfers who came over to compete in the tournament all kind of flamed out, including the defending champion, John Rahm. Nine over.
Yeah, listen, and as somebody who once loved John Rahm, I'm sorry, I found this to be very much like karma. For him to finish nine over, tied for 45th in the field, John Rahm, and to hear him in some of the press conferences, a lot of people who were there said you could hear the regret in his words and in his voice. I don't know how true that happens to be. He didn't look all that happy yesterday. All that money he's got in the bank, I'm sure will get him through it.
Yeah, but people pointed out in the interview that Scheffler was doing after winning, with CBS, that John Rahm looked like he wanted to be anywhere else on planet Earth.
Than
to sit there with his green jacket.
Well, this is a guy that has a ton of professional pride, and now he comes back to the pinnacle event and he can't even hang. And then he's got and this is what's good about it. What's good now is Scottie Scheffler has set a bar. He's set a standard on the PGA Tour of what greatness now looks like. Okay, so there's that dude now on the PGA Tour, and all these other guys who went and took the money are the ones that have any competitiveness left in them. It's got a sting. I don't know how it couldn't. So, and here's the other thing too. There are a lot of people think John Rahm went to LIV when he did because he believed the tours were about to kind of reunify. And that he was going to get a big payday right before the reunification happened.
There was all those stories for a while.
Oh, yeah.
And it turned out to be not exactly what everybody thought.
Well, it's because the guys on the PGA Tour who didn't bolt don't think it should be that easy. Or there should be some level of compensation for them for staying. And listen, I just the fact that Bryson DeChambeau going into the Masters was talking about the need. We need to repair the game. There's been so much damage done. It's like people use the same line. It's like an arsonist saying we need to rebuild that house I just burned down.
I think you should leave guy in a hot dog costume meme.
Who
could have done this?
Who could have done this?
But on your thing about like the competitive, is that going to get to these LIV players that want them to come back to the PGA Tour? Don't you think as long as they're all allowed to play in the majors, that's all that matters to them? Because they'll still get their competitiveness there and show that they're still the greatest.
But that's still
it's not the week by week stuff.
It's still only four times a year.
Well, and it's also very, very fleeting because there are guys now who have got major exemptions that are going to expire, like Bryson DeChambeau. Next year is his last exempted year at the Masters. After that, he might be floating. So and these guys want to be part of the Masters. Now, the Masters has shown they invited in Joaquin Neiman, who's a terrific young player. He also went to LIV. They invited him this year. So they could have said, nope, you ain't invited. They didn't. They invited him. They want the best field they can put together. But a lot of these guys now, they're going to run out of their options. Now, people who have won the Masters, they've got lifetime options. So like Phil, he can play here his entire life. John Rahm can play here there his entire life. They're good. But Brooks Koepka, even Brooks Koepka, he only runs through like 2027. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I don't care if this thing, if there is a reunification. I really don't anymore. Because I don't want these traitors to get back in. That's my personal feeling.
So do you wish that they weren't even allowed to play in the majors?
Yes, I do. Yeah, I do.
Yeah, for me, and again, there's the ruling that, hey, the PGA Tour doesn't control the majors. But it's like that feeling of, why do these guys get to, and I hate this phrase, have their cake and eat it too?
Mm. Yes.
Like they could take this money, shut off their competitive engines over on the LIV Tour, mm-hmm. and then come and still maybe enjoy the spoils of PGA life. It just doesn't seem
that
right.
After causing all the damage that they've done, that's what it is.
And when the LIV thing first started, that was what they were going to say. Like, well, all right, fine, but you're not going to be able to play in the majors. And that didn't last like almost at all. Well, what did you say, Rahm? Finished nine over?
Nine over.
Or as Tiger Woods calls it, a good round.
Exactly where
now,
I was
come
going
on,
with
you
the
don't
next
need
story.
You don't need to dog on Tiger. He made the cut. But I wanted, dude can barely walk.
I wanted to ask you this. Because so much was made, and it's a major accomplishment.
Mm-hmm.
24 straight made cuts at Augusta for Tiger Woods. considering his physical condition, considering the lack of competitive golf that he's played over the last basically 4 years, it is an accomplishment. But would it have been better that that streak came to an end after seeing what we saw on Saturday and Sunday from Tiger?
Yeah, I know what you're saying. I think that, you know, there's a defiance to Tiger. He still is of the mindset that I can win one of these majors. To my eyes, it doesn't look to be so. But you can catch lightning in a bottle at Augusta. And I think that it wouldn't surprise me if he makes a run at another Masters within 3 years, but he's not going to win any other
major. It just feels like he can't go four rounds anymore.
No, he didn't.
And I understand
what you're
saying.
He's dragging his leg, man. You can watch him when he walks.
The lightning in a bottle thing is real when you're that great and you've been that great in the past. But it's the if he was playing on the LIV Tour and it was three rounds, or if he was playing in a thing that was only two, you know?
Don't give him any ideas.
Oh, he's planting the idea.
Jared Kerlin advocating Tiger Woods to go to the LIV Tour.
You know what I mean, though? It just feels like he's still in such bad physical shape all this time after recovering from all the million things he's recovering from.
And kind of rough mental shape, too. Did you see him shake hands with a tree?
Yes. That's right.
That was funny.
That was pretty funny, actually.
That tree was at its 40th and final Masters.
I'm going to tweet this out, but that's a Stanford alum finally meeting the mascot.
Oh, there we are. Oh, that was great.
Now you're advertising what you're going to tweet.
Well, I didn't want to waste it just on
tease.
Social media people.
Taking a note from the Coyotes, you know? There's going to be
boy.
A statement.
Oh, my.
All right, Bic, scale of 1 to 10, Masters weekend, rated a what on the Bickley scale?
7.5. 7.5 to 8. Okay. The right guy won. The LIV guys flamed out. But it wasn't the same kind of
there wasn't a
stuff.
Whole lot of intrigue.
And yeah, no, yeah, there wasn't a lot of challenge to Scottie Scheffler on Sunday.
And also my uncle and cousin went to it, first time ever.
Is that right?
Went to Augusta. Just not the biggest golf fans, but they said just the experience is unbelievable. You walk in there and they said it's like being in another world.
It is.
The way they keep the ground.
Yeah.
They went on Sunday too.
Yeah.
How did they
get tickets?
Seriously. They knew people.
The big baller.
I guess it was he's a doctor and somebody in the partnership had some kind of hookup.
Okay.
Because, yeah, I know it's hard. But another one of their biggest takeaways that they had no idea about was the famous menu where the sandwiches are like the same as they've been for 50 years. $1.50 for like a chicken salad sandwich or
pimento cheese.
Yeah. They said like they couldn't believe.
Mm-hmm.
They said, you know, the souvenirs and merchandise, not 50-year-old prices, but still. They said,
can you imagine Jarrett? Just from a food standpoint.
Oh my goodness.
I'd pack away nine sandwiches on a $20 bill.
Who won the tournament? I don't know, but I ate 27 pimento and cheese sandwiches.
And where they do get you is in the merchandise.
Yeah.
Yeah, because everybody who goes to the Masters has to come home with some.
Got to get a hat. Got to get a polo. Got to get
and then you probably got to get something for 5 of your closest friends, too.
And it's exclusive to Augusta. You can't get it anywhere else. Is that the case?
I'm not sure if you can order it online, but you have to get it through Augusta. It is not available anywhere else.
Yeah.
You can't retail shop that stuff.
Enter to win an exclusive NFL draft experience. Just text draft to 620-620 to enter for the chance to win a reserve table and $200 in food and beverage credit at Flanker's Kitchen and Sports Bar inside BetGM Sportsbook, all while having a front row seat for Arizona Sports live draft broadcast. That's text draft to 620-620 right now. Coming up next, the sands on the hourglass are almost expired for the Arizona Coyotes. We'll tell you about what developed over the weekend and reaction to all of it next. Bickley and Murata Mornings here on Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.